Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of all, good evening. Welcome to Update here on Manx Radio. So if you've missed the news today, don't worry. We'll bring you up to speed over the next half hour. Coming up, the island's parole committee says openness, justice and transparency are key to how it works. And we're going to hear more as it's released new details today about the parole and temporary release systems. Also tonight, plans for the former Buchan School site are on show. What is being proposed and how are people reacting? There's a new face down at Douglas City Council. And we've been down today to the Villa Marie for the Department of Education's Employment and Skills event, meeting some of those finding out about their future careers. As ever, we'd love to hear from you, 166 177, or you can email us studio@manxradio.com. We'll start, as ever, with a roundup of the main news headlines with Chanel Fastamai.
Fastamai. The Derby Haven Resident Society says it welcomes the findings from the Tynwald Commissioner for Administration regarding the handling of a complaint over the former Castletown Golf Links Hotel. A report by the Ombudsman found that maladministration had occurred when Maloo Commissioners was dealing with a request to serve a demolition notice on the building, which the Society describes as an embarrassing eyesore. Tomorrow morning's Manxman sailing to Heysham has been brought forward due to the forecast adverse weather. The 8 a.m. service will now depart at 7:30 a.m., with passengers asked to check in by 6:45 a.m. And around 1,400 young people had the chance to find out more about careers or the careers available to them on the Isle of Man today. The Department of Education, Sport and Culture's Employment and Skills Fair took place at the Villa Marina, giving students a chance to speak to employers about job and training opportunities. In international news, an independent report found authorities knew the father of murdered 10-year-old Sara Sharif was a serial domestic abuser, but overlooked it. It exposes how she was repeatedly failed by the safeguarding system before she was found dead in her bed in Surrey in 2023. Police commissioners are to be scrapped, with the UK government claiming only 2 in 5 people are aware they even exist. The powers will be taken on by mayors and council leaders. And Alan Carr's Madame Tussauds waxwork has had a makeover following his Celebrity Traitors win. He's now on display at the London attraction, dressed in the show's famous green cloak. Those are your headlines. News at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Chanel. Now the weather, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So scattered showers this evening are likely to merge into longer spells of rain and drizzle, and that will be the same overnight as well. Light to moderate east to northeast winds. They'll become fresh to strong tonight. Minimum temperatures will be around 7. Some patchy rain at first tomorrow. It will become generally dry by mid-morning, although it will still be cloudy. Rain, though, you'll be pleased to hear, arrives in the evening, and that is going to turn heavy at times. Top temperature is only 10 Celsius, and it's going to feel even colder than that, actually. There's a strong to gale force east northeast wind, as we just heard Chanel saying. There have been some changes to the sailing schedule because of that, and then there'll be further rain overnight tomorrow and at first on Saturday morning, but it will be then mostly dry on Saturday, so there is something to look forward to.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Ambitions Recruitment Consultants, covering all business sectors in the Isle of Man. Register online or email your CV to info@ambitions.co.im or ring 614 841. Ambitions, for all your recruitment needs, however big or small.
One Architectural Design Company has particular expertise in achieving planning approval for a wide variety of projects, from landmark buildings to spectacular homes. Talk to the experts at Ellis Brown and get your project off the ground. For excellence in design, search Ellis Brown.
Patricia Wild Opticians is celebrating over 30 years of friendly, caring service in Farm Hill and Ramsey. Visit us for professional eye care with stress-free parking. Phone Patricia Wild Opticians on 813 977.
Elevate Rubber Cover from Rubber Roof Shop for one-piece flat roofing systems. No joins, no leaks. We also line commercial box gutters in one piece up to 60 metres with a 20-year written warranty against leakage. Call Rubber Roof Shop on 49667.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio, 4.5 minutes past 5. Open justice and transparency is key, according to the island's parole committee, as the government has today released two videos explaining the parole and temporary release systems. The Justice and Home Affairs Minister, Jane Paul Wilson, claims they've been prepared to allay misunderstandings. She and the committee's deputy chair, Mark Emery, have been talking to Siobhan.
You know, one of the things we've been at pains to explain is that all of this is governed by statute. And when it comes to parole decisions, the parole committee will focus not only on what they're required to do by statute, but they will focus on a huge amount of detail. And I think one of our parole committee members said that the files they receive can run to 300 pages. So they will look at all of that detail, including the initial sentencing remarks. They will look at all of the detail around what the prisoner has been doing during their time in prison, what rehabilitation they've done, any psychological interventions, their behaviour, the feedback from prison officers. Importantly, they will also make sure that there is the opportunity for a victim impact statement as well. And then if they do determine based on all of that, and they will make some decisions in relation to the risk to public safety and the effectiveness of further rehabilitation if they decide to grant parole. In relation to all of that, they will then also think about what license conditions might be appropriate. And again, that's where, you know, the impact for the victim is really important in actually informing that.
My name is Mark Emery. I'm deputy chair of the parole committee. So the process starts well before it reaches ourselves. The pack that we consider involves reaching out to victims, and they have an opportunity to submit a victim impact statement, which is crucial in terms of our job is to protect the public of the Isle of Man, and we take that responsibility very seriously. And the victim is obviously one of the key people that we must protect as part of that process. Open justice and transparency is key. Obviously, there is a limit to that, but it's about making sure that the public understand the rationale behind our decisions.
That's the Deputy Chair of the Islands Parole Committee, Mark Emery, and before that, the Justice and Home Affairs Minister, Jane Paul Wilson. And you can find out much more about that, as ever, on the Manx Radio website. 7 minutes past five, and a man jailed for 6 years and 6 months for allegedly attacking a man in a lane in the Isle of Man's capital has been released after prosecutors offered no evidence for a retrial. Sean Cowper has the details.
41-year-old Donovan Kitching was found guilty of wounding with intent to cause grievous bodily harm at trial in May 2024 and was sentenced in October the same year. However, BBC Isle of Man reports that in September, Judge of Appeal Anthony Cross and Acting Deemster Simon Farrell found his conviction was unsafe due to the credibility of the evidence provided by the victim and quashed the conviction. A retrial was ordered, but the prosecution chose not to pursue it, offering no further evidence, and a not guilty verdict was recorded. Prosecutor Roger Kane told the court the victim was no longer in support of prosecution. The original conviction related to an incident on Cinder Path in Douglas on the 19th of August 2023, where it was alleged an unidentified weapon was swung at the victim's head, catching his hand as he held it up in defence. The incident left the victim, who had been lured to the lane for what he thought was a drug deal, needing stitches to his ear and hand. Kitching, who consistently denied any involvement in the attack, was accused of swinging the weapon. He was charged alongside Michael Glover, who pleaded guilty to wounding with intent and was sentenced to 28 months in August 2024. Representing himself at the hearing, Kitching was removed from the court after interrupting the proceedings on several occasions. He told the court, "I am innocent. I have been in prison for 2 years for something I didn't do."
Sean Cowper reporting. 8.5 minutes past five. Well, Hertford Homes has held a public consultation to showcase its plans for the former Buchan School site in Castletown. So the junior school was sold by King William's College early this year as part of efforts to consolidate its campuses. At Castletown Town Hall, residents viewed proposals for an 86-property development at West Hill, and that includes 65 family homes and 21 affordable units. Amy Griffiths went along and first spoke to George Lee, Hertford Homes' in-house architect.
We've worked with the existing site, because it's a brownfield site, we've maintained all the registered woodland area on the eastern part of the site and then developed within the former developed areas.
Because it's a brownfield site, but it is actually quite a green area of the town, isn't it?
It is, and at the moment it's obviously private green space, and as part of the proposal we're opening this up for community public open space as well. So the woodland area in particular, it's a lovely area. So once this development's been finished, that will be available for the community to go and use.
And of course, this is the pre-application consultation. Yes. So getting a bit of an idea, is there a sort of time frame in terms of when you'd like to see these houses available?
Subject to what sort of comments we receive today, we're aiming to make a planning application in about 4 or 5 weeks' time. On current timescales, if we get planning approval before Easter, potentially next year, we'd like to start on site before the end of next year, if possible. First house has been available 6 or 7 months after that. First house is available 2027.
So that was Amy talking to George Lee about the plans to redevelop the former Book and School site. While she was there, she also spoke to some of the local residents who were having a look at the plans.
It's a shame because a lot of history was in the Book and School, and the old school building itself would have been really nice to have retained that. But obviously parts of the other of the school were 1970s flat roof. So in that sense, something had to be done. But whether it had to be housing or not, it's down to demand, isn't it?
And we're just interested in what the developments are. We obviously know the Bookens now moved into the King William site. And our youngest son is moving back to the island when they start a family. So we're sort of looking around to see what's available. And I mean, something like that would be fantastic. You know, it's quite a big range of properties, 2, 3, 4 and 5 beds, and there's going to be 86 of them. But there seems to be quite a bit of room, you know, and there's plenty of space around, you know, for kiddies at some point in time to go and play. So, yeah.
That's some of the people who were having a look at the Hertford Homes pre-application consultation in Castletown. Just gone 11 minutes past 5 here on Update. We're going to stay down south because the Derby Haven Resident Society says it's pleased with the findings of a new report into how a complaint about the former Castletown Golf Links Hotel was handled. The Tynwald Commissioner for Administration, or Ombudsman, found there'd been maladministration by Bunloo commissioners when dealing with a request to issue a demolition notice for the building, which residents have described as an embarrassing eyesore. So this report will be laid before Tynwald next week, and the residents group is now calling on members to consider whether local authorities should have more power to demolish derelict or dilapidated properties. Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has been talking to Sean Murphy from the Residents Society.
The Tynwald Commissioner came to us to seek our views because we had been heavily involved throughout the planning process when the previous owners had submitted their planning application. So, yeah, we've had a long history of concern and obviously interest in the site because it is a very important site within Derby Haven for us Derby Haven residents, and we're keen to see that that site is, you know, restored to its true potential, really.
So what does the society think about the report, and what did you make of it when it was published?
Well, the Ombudsman's gone to quite considerable lengths to take on board the various views and responses from the various parties. And that process has taken quite a long time. It's a very extensive report extending to over 220 pages. So, yes, I think the Ombudsman has captured anything that can possibly be said in terms of the whole process that Milieu commissioners have engaged with in terms of the core issue of the condition of the former Castletown Golf Links Hotel.
Do you see the report like benefiting the resident society and the situation with the hotel? Do you see any at all?
I think the report does serve to highlight some of the issues involved with dealing with dereliction, and that's really why we call on Tynwald to take this chance to review how these powers operate. I think in terms of Derby Haven, all being well, because we now have a new owner of the site, they have indicated that they've actually appointed a contractor to undertake demolition of the building once all of the necessary approvals are in place. So I think we can reasonably confidently say that things are now starting to move and the eyesore at least will be removed. Thereafter, it will be down to a planning application, we assume at some stage by the new owners to do something with that site.
That was Sean Murphy from the Derby Haven Resident Society talking to Emma there about the Tynwald Ombudsman's report into Milieu commissioners and the Golf Links Hotel. We have invited Milieu commissioners to respond if they wish.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
So nothing to report on the police pages, which is good news. Still quite a lot of standing water around in some places, though, so do take care with that. Lots of temporary lights around as well. Johnny Watterson's Lane between Governors Hill and Cronknoe Mona. Also on Prospect Hill still as well. King Edward Road at Port Jack. The Glendarroch Road is closed for tree works. There are temporary lights on the Lazare Road approaching Parliament Square. Also on Ballure Road in Ramsey. And also in Laxey, there are temporary lights on the Ramsey Road near Ard Riott. Looking down at the airport, all okay down there, and then the latest with the steam packet this evening, all okay. It's due back in the Manxman into Douglas at around about 5:30, heading out again to Heysham at 7:15, but that sailing tomorrow, as we heard, has been brought forward. It's going to go a half an hour earlier at 7:30.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
It's just coming up to 5:15. So do you remember thinking about your next steps when you finish school? Perhaps your children are going through some of that decision process making now. Well, we were down at the Department of Education, Sport and Culture's Employment and Skills Fair down at the Villa Marina today. And these students, Ben and Charlie, told Christian why the university route is not for them.
For the roles that I'd potentially want to do after school, which is normally finance, I didn't see the benefit of going to university when it costs so much and when I could get the professional qualifications here and earn money whilst learning towards a qualification.
Do you think you'll miss out though on university? People often go to university to experience like freshers.
Obviously I'd like to experience that, but I think long term it'd be more beneficial for me, just for the cost and for the time as well. 3 years at university is a long time. I think it'd be still beneficial to me to stay.
I'm the same. I want to go into finance, and I think it would just be most suitable for me to stay on Ireland and earn while I learn instead of going to university and having to come back and do the same exams, really. And with the nightlife, I mean, you might miss out on stuff over at uni, but you can always go away and meet your friends that are at uni. So I don't think you might not miss out as much.
And do you think a degree still has the same weight that it used to potentially?
I definitely think for certain qualifications it's valuable. Obviously if you want to go into like medicine or law, obviously then I think it's definitely valuable. But I think on the Isle of Man, when finance is such a big sector, it just makes sense really to stay and earn and learn here again.
Yeah, I reckon if you're going into certain sectors like law and medicine, I think a degree is probably needed. And I think if you can go into a sort of job like finance where you can learn on the island as well as doing the same at uni, then it's probably more beneficial to stay on the island.
And just last question, obviously the Isle of Man is recognised as being quite a big financial hub. Do you think you'll ever move over to the UK, maybe work somewhere like Canary Wharf?
Who knows, we'll have to see where we go then.
Yeah, definitely I'd like to work away. If I could get my qualifications done here, then I'd love to travel.
That's Ben and Charlie talking to Christian down at the Department of Education's Employment and Skills Fair, which took place at the Villa Marina today. 5:17. So there's a new face in Douglas City Council, and she says she's determined to help some of the island's most vulnerable residents. Charlotte Traynor was elected to represent the Central Ward in last month's uncontested by-election, and actually she admits she didn't expect to end up in local politics. But she says now she wants to make sure small businesses and local producers are properly supported, and she's looking forward to working with people right across the Douglas community. She's been talking to local Democracy reporter Emma Draper.
I've been working a lot in the homelessness arena on the island recently, as well as having an involvement with bail and probation. And I suppose I've seen a slightly different side of the island that I wasn't really privy to before. And I've become quite passionate about being an advocate for the most vulnerable and at-risk people that we have on the island, and making sure that their basic needs are met, essentially. So I've been doing a lot of work privately anyway, and then I happened to be speaking to some of the local councillors in my area who said that actually the kind of work that I was doing is the sort of work that you do at the council, and that they'd love to have me on board if I was lucky enough to be elected and if I had the time and capacity. I think I'm just excited to be able to advocate for the most at-risk members of our town and to be a slightly different voice and perspective for Douglas City.
Is there anything you're looking forward to in particular now that you're on the council?
If I'm absolutely honest, I think the thing I'm looking forward to is understanding the system a little bit better and being a little bit more comfortable with the processes. The people here have been so welcoming and so friendly and seem to be willing to do anything to help me adjust, which is so lovely. But I think I'll feel a little bit more confident in myself and be a bit more raring to go once I'm a bit more familiar with everything that's going on, because it's a whole different world.
So are there any specific issues that you'd like to try and help solve? involve anything that jumps out to you?
My other background is education, and with that has come a lot of community engagement and community building. And I also do some regenerative design, which is all about kind of improving systems to make them work for people and places a little bit better. So I suppose the other side of it is that I'd really like to try and do anything and everything to just enhance that sense of community that we have. We have such a brilliant sense of community on the island, but to be able to harness that and strengthen it as much as possible, I'm really looking forward to trying to play a part in.
That was new Douglas councillor Charlotte Traynor talking to Emma about why she has joined the local authority. It's coming up to 20 past five. OK, so what is your star sign? And here is another question. What would a Manx version of that star sign look like? Well, a local artist has been exploring the zodiac in a brand new collection. The Isle of Man Astrology Series by Kim Graziano reimagines the traditional zodiac symbols with a distinctly Manx twist. Each illustration that she's done blends astrology and island culture, complete with Manx language translations of the star signs, and this is something that is believed to be a first over here. Kim's been chatting to Howard about the inspiration behind the work.
So my idea was to do illustrations for each sign that had a connection to the Isle of Man, and then once I had all the designs, I could put them on a variety of merchandise, but I thought to start, it would make sense to do greeting cards and then do a 2026 calendar. And of course, if I'm going to do an Isle of Man calendar, I can put in all the fun Isle of Man stuff. So we have like real holidays and bank holidays, but we also have Isle of Man term times, we have the TT schedule, chips, cheese and gravy day, anything you actually want to know about if you're living in the Isle of Man.
So how did you go about coming up with the ideas then? Because I'm thinking, I'm a Libran, so scales.
Yeah. So basically I made the note in my phone years ago, and now and then I would sort of chip away at it, and some of them were really obvious. So like Aries is represented by a ram. We have locked in sheep, easy. Or Leo, that's a lion. We don't have lions, but we do have a signature feline, so the Manx cat for Leo.
Perfect.
For Libra, that one took me a bit because I was like, scales. Yeah, what are Manx scales? But what I came down to is, okay, it has to be scales, the scales of justice. So where should justice be? It should probably be at the oldest site of government. So I put our scales at Tynwald Hill. And what are our scales weighing? Well, it's in October, so they're weighing moots for Hoptune.
A tricky one could be Virgo.
Virgo is usually represented by the maiden. So I was looking at, okay, who are some maidens in Manx folklore? It's like maybe Fenella. But then I was thinking that we had to get a Manx fairy in there. And Virgo is often a maiden holding a sheaf of wheat, which represents fertility. So then I did a little research onto where the wheat in the Isle of Man is grown for Laxey flour, and the wheat is grown in the Northern Plains. So we have a fairy sitting in the fields of the Northern Plains overlooking Ramsey.
I like it. So, I mean, these ideas come to you sort of virtually spontaneously, or did you really have to sit down and doodle and come up with thoughts?
Yeah, they definitely went through a few versions, and some were easier than others. But yeah, a little bit of just trial and error. And I also wanted to make sure that every part of the Isle of Man was represented. So I would maybe I'd crack what I wanted the symbol to be, but I'd be like, okay, but can I place it in a part of the island I haven't drawn yet so that we're encompassing everything?
That's artist Kim Graziano talking to Howard there. You'll be able to hear much more about that in Spotlight next week. And there's a lovely photograph on the Manx Radio website as well. 22 minutes past five, the Manx songwriter Alice Dudley has been picked to be the next Biosphere Artist in Residence for 2026. Now, this is a year-long programme by the Manx Wildlife Trust with UNESCO, and it explores links between Manx culture, language and the natural environment. Alice spoke to Simon Clark alongside Head of Engagement at MWT, Carmel Crocamp.
It's fantastic. It kind of feels like the perfect opportunity to combine all of the different aspects of my practice across sort of visual art, music, being really inspired by nature, folklore and sort of Manx tradition, and kind of really combining everything and hopefully engaging the community, helping to connect people with nature and with each other as well.
And this is the fantastic thing about it. We see videos and everything of scenic parts of the Isle of Man, and you just listen to some accompanying music sometimes and it just, you know, enhances the whole aspect of it, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think especially living here, I think we all take for granted that we have all of this beauty right on our doorstep, and sometimes you kind of just forget to kind of soak it all in. I think hopefully a lot of the work that I make, for me, it's about a personal connection with nature, but hopefully it can help other people to connect with their surroundings as well.
Carmel, as Head of Engagement at the Manx Wildlife Trust, You must be over the moon with the choice of Alice. How did it come about?
Once a year, basically, we put out a call for proposals and then we get a load of applicants in. It is quite competitive. And Alice's proposal really stood out because Alice is this really multifaceted artist. So she's an amazing visual artist and she works in lots of different media. And the proposal that Alice brought as well was really one that where she likes to work in collaboration with people. And we loved that because the residency, the Biosphere Artists Residence Programme, it's about connecting new audiences to nature. And in a way, this is sort of, Alice comes as this sort of propagator hub already. She's going to bring different media and different artists all together.
That's Karma Quirkamp from the Manx Wildlife Trust and also Alice Dudley, who is the new Biosphere Artist in Residence for 2026. 25 past five, just about. Well, let's join Rob Pritchard now for this evening's sports news. Fast am I, Rob?
Fast am I. First off, Manx triathlete Will Draper is set to make his third appearance on the T100 Triathlon World Tour this weekend. The Ireland competitor has earned another wildcard entry to the series, this time for the penultimate round in Dubai this Saturday. Well, Draper has competed as a wildcard competitor on two previous occasions in the championship this season, each time finishing inside the top 15. Saturday's race is due to get underway at 11:30 a.m. local time. Well, the first of Draper's wildcard appearances on the tour saw him place 15th in Vancouver, Canada in June in round 3, before improving in round 4 in London in August to cross the line in 11th spot. Elsewhere in pool, the second flyer event has been taking place at the Comus Hotel today ahead of the 2025 IPA Grand Finals starting tomorrow. Multiple Manx players have been involved in the 41-player elimination event throughout today. Dave Pickersgill and Frankie Pitts were the Isle of Man representatives who got the furthest into the competition. Both bowed out in the last 16, with Pickersgill losing out to Scotland's Lewis McCowell and Pitts defeated by Morgan McInnes, also of Scotland. Tomorrow is when the main pro events get underway, with David Adnall the only Manx player involved in the pro draw. Meanwhile, there'll be multiple other Ireland competitors qualified for the amateur event, which starts from tomorrow. And in motorsport, Davy Todd has set the fastest time during opening free practice at the 2025 McCowell Motorcycle Grand Prix. The 2024 Senior TT winner topped the charts overnight with a best pace of 2 minutes 26.210 seconds, whilst his Zico BMW Motorrad teammate Peter Hickman went second quickest at 2 minutes 28.451 seconds. Completing the top three was Rob Hodgson on his SMT Racing Honda, less than half a second further back at 2 minutes 28.824. Elsewhere, the quickest of the Manx representatives on day one was Santa man Michael Evans, who finished the session in 10th, clocking 2 minutes 33.241 seconds on the RC Express Honda. Fellow Isle of Man rider Marcus Simpson on board the WH Racing team powered by Dino Bike Honda ended the day in 20th place with a best pace of 2 minutes 43.030. Well, the two-wheeled action will now move on to qualifying, which is due to start at 11:45 p.m. UK time tonight or 7:45 a.m. on Friday the 14th of November local time. The schedule does remain subject to change depending on prevailing conditions and circumstances.
Thank you very much indeed, Rob. Good to hear Peter Hickman back out there racing, isn't it, after it's what's been a difficult few months.
It has indeed, and he's been able to transition back into it, I guess, obviously with the opportunities he's been getting in BSB toward the latter end of the season as well, so that'll have no doubt been a nice platform then. Of course, you know, a popular name in road racing and at Macau as well, so yeah, and I'm sure he and Davy Todd will be very pleased as teammates to have gone 1-2 in free practice.
I'm sure they will. Thank you very much indeed, Rob. Well, that is all from Update tonight. Coming up next, it's Jacques Lair with Bob Carswell. At 6 p.m, Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley, and then at 9, A Little Light Music with Morris Powell. And as ever, Morris plays the best in light classics from Handel in the Strand to the Skater's Waltz. So that is all coming up at 9 and will be available straight afterwards as a podcast on the Manx Radio website. And then Rhiann will be looking after hours from 10. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.